you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Welcome to the Giants Insider Podcast on CSNBayArea.com. Introducing your host, San Francisco Giants Insider, Alex Pavlovich.
Hey everybody, this is episode 39 of the Giants Insider Podcast. This one's a little bit different in some respect than most of them. This one's a little bit more focused given what happened on Monday and in this series. I talked to Rich Aurelia on Tuesday about the fight and kind of what he thinks the repercussions will be just going forward for this clubhouse, for Strickland, Posey, and all that. Obviously, after we talked, we found out that Michael Morse got hurt, so that might be something that comes into play down the line. A little bit more costly than we first thought Monday's incident was, so obviously that changes. And then also after Richie, I talked to Dan Kolko, who covers the Nationals. He is a sideline reporter for them and obviously knows that team inside and out. He talked about Bryce Harper, the perception of Harper, the Harper he knows, this Nationals team, which is very, very good. They went out and got retaliation really the best possible way by crushing the Giants and sweeping them here at AT&T Park. So a lot happened this week. Tried to recap some of it for you guys on the off day. Here's the latest podcast. Rich Aurelia, first of all, what's the best fight you ever got into? I'm putting you on the spot.
Best one I ever got into or was ever on a team involved?
I guess both.
Well, the team involved, I think, was the one we had with the Diamondbacks with, I want to say it was Charlie Hayes and Todd Stottlemyre, but that was the fight where Randy Johnson put on the Giants hat after the fight. Like, he picked up a hat off the ground and put it on. He was trying to see if it fit him, and then he finally realized it was a Giants hat and he threw it on the ground. That wasn't more of a fight. It was more of a pushing match, but that was kind of funny. I don't ever remember myself being in a fight. I remember being at the bottom of a pile, but that was in the minor leagues, and that's when you're just trying to preserve yourself.
So that's a good transition, I guess. Talking to some guys today about the Buster thing became a big deal. There are other guys who avoid. Yeah. Crawford always avoids these, and just chatting with guys, there is some concern about there were a couple guys I talked to who said they're running in, and then they see a bunch of 6'5" guys in the middle of that. I mean, how much do you think that plays into what happened with Buster, and how much should we think about that in these fights of guys trying to avoid getting hurt?
Well, you have to think that's part of it. I mean, you got a guy in Buster who's coming off having a concussion from being hit in the head with a fastball, and a guy that also broke his leg on a freaky collision at home plate. I mean, we've seen things in the past few years where guys get hurt celebrating at home plate. They break a leg after a walk-off homer or in a celebration. So I think now you have to kind of be smart. And when you look at the size of some of those guys out there yesterday, like Samardzija and Morse and Worth and yeah. Zimmerman, and yeah, I mean, you have to be careful.
It was literally all the biggest guys on both these teams and somehow ended up in the middle of it.
And you didn't want to get caught in somebody's hair because that would have been really bad. But, you know, there's a reason why he wasn't out there, and you have to respect the fact that he is your team leader. He is your face of the franchise, and there's a reason why he wasn't out there.
Strickland told us that he talked to him. He said, Buster has our back. I don't have a problem with it. Bochy indicated he talked to both guys. Going forward, I mean, this is a team that's been losing. There have been other things that have happened. What do you think, having been in a major league clubhouse for so long, the repercussions are of something like that?
Well, you like to think the repercussions are that maybe this will bring them closer together. Maybe this will light a fire and get everybody, you know, for that, you know, they have that sign in there, one common goal, you know, and that's what it is. 25 guys on the same page between the lines. And by no means do I ever think on this team that they think Buster Posey doesn't have anybody's back. Buster Posey is a great player. He's a really smart player, smart man, and he is the quiet leader of this team. So I think he's got everybody's back on this team.
You're from New York there. You're from, I don't know how many fights you were in as a kid, but generally when you're watching that, what did you think of the way Strickland handled it, the way Harper handled it, and the way it all went down?
Well, I'll say this. I can't really fault Bryce Harper for going out there. I can't. Being a former hitter, you got hit with 98 right in the hip. I mean, at least it was in the hip. It wasn't up above the waist. So I get that fact. I don't condone trying to throw a helmet at him. I don't condone throwing at guys because they have two home runs off. There's a way to handle that. And I think we're just fortunate that nothing really serious came out of that and all the players seem healthy.
So we're talking before Tuesday's game, so by the time this gets posted, people will know if something happened. But you were saying you don't think something will, but it is something that baseball players have a long memory. I mean, going forward, these teams will face off again this year. These are two guys who are going to be, I think, Harper at least for 15 years. Strickland looks like he has a bright future at the back end of bullpens. How do these things end up over time?
Well, the strange thing about it is usually, you know, when you have a reliever out of the pen and something happens like that, yeah, your name gets put on some type of list, but how many opportunities is Hunter Strickland really going to hit? You know what I mean?
So I track it. I'm the expert on relief pitcher at bats.
Yeah,
we get two or three a year most
years. So the next logical step is, or not logical, because it's really illogical, or there's no reasoning behind it, but, you know, you hit our best, we're going to hit your best. And that's how it usually works in this game, and it's been like that for years. I mean, I don't think anything will happen this series, because I'm pretty sure that they'll give some kind of warning before the game starts tonight. But, you know, down the road, these teams still play this year, these guys still play in the next year, and the next year after that, and a lot of these players will still be the same guys on the same team. So it remains to be seen, but I think it's just fortunate that nobody got seriously hurt yesterday, and I think this series will be kind of safe.
Like you said, these guys never forget. Thank you for taking the time. You're on the pregame show. You're on the postgame show. That's where people can find you. You're the wine guy.
We're there. So. I'm everywhere, man. I'm everywhere, but thanks for having me.
All right, thanks, Rich. Dan Colco, National sideline reporter. I apologize for the cold weather last night, but it's been a weird series, a rough series. We're talking before the final game. What's kind of the 2 days later, the general consensus on if this is over, if they're fully done with this, if, you know, these teams play again this year, or are we going to see more fireworks at some point?
I think the only chance that they're, I won't say only chance, I would be surprised if anything happens, except on the off chance that Hunter Strickland ever gets in the batter's box. You never know what could happen in that type of situation. But how often does a seventh inning guy ever get to hit? Very infrequently. And even if he did, I think, I can't speak for the Giants, and you would have a better understanding of that than I, but I think the Nationals view it as something between two guys, and they feel like Harper handled it, and the two of them were able to square off, and you know, I think they view it as in the past now. And Dusty said it prior to game two of this series. He said the way that we get retribution, retaliate, whatever, however you want to phrase it, is to go out there and beat them up on the scoreboard.
They won, which they did.
They did. They won game two, and they're going to go for the sweep here tonight. So, yeah, it's unfortunate that it happened. I think they feel like it was totally uncalled for. 3 years later, Tanner Roark said apparently, you know, he can't get him out, and that's the way that he wants to go about it. So they don't really get it, but I think they feel like it's over.
For my readers, my listeners, they don't know Bryce really at all. We know the perception of him. What's your side with him? I mean, you know him very well. You're with him every day all season. What do you think of moments like this? And were you surprised he went out to the mound? And is this something he deals with in other cities? I know he had it with Cole Hamels at some point. I mean, does that still happen, or has it mostly settled down?
At this point, very early on in his career, when people around the league hadn't seen him yet, they hadn't faced him yet, they didn't have any personal experiences with him. All they had to go on was this image coming up from the minors, him on the cover of Sports Illustrated at 16 years old. You know, you get the Cole Hamels thing, welcoming him to the big leagues as if that needed to be done at all. I found that incredibly silly. Bryce is an established major leaguer now who has an MVP award under his belt, who works incredibly hard and loves the game of baseball, and he didn't want what happened the other day to happen. He felt, you know, yes, he hit two long home runs off of Hunter Strickland in the postseason. Do you want him to not show any emotion in those situations? Yeah, I mean, he said some stuff as he was rounding the bases. Yeah, he was emotional when he got back to the dugout. But Hunter Strickland was glaring at him as he was rounding the bases, too.
He was also, 21, right? I think he was...
22. Yeah, but he's, at this point, he's, despite the fact that he's just 24 years old, he's, you know, a proven big leaguer now. And he's done it. He's had success. He's learned about how to approach the daily craft of being a big league ball player, and it happens with every player. They become more mature as they go through their career. It's just his maturation process happens in front of everyone on MLB Network and ESPN and all that. So everything he does is analyzed and criticized, everything he says. But I always tell people that I think Bryce deals with the spotlight and everything that comes upon him in an incredibly mature way for a guy who is still pretty young at 24.
So fight aside, this is a frightening lineup. And I think we saw it Tuesday night, and we've seen the numbers. You've been with these guys. You've seen the start they've gotten off to. I mean, how do they compare to – is this kind of the Giants are probably not worrying about October at this point or not worrying about a potential rematch, but what do you think of just the team they've put together, and is this – kind of the best team that you've seen in terms of the Nationals?
It's the best lineup for sure, and that's even after Adam Eaton suffered his injury and is out for the year, most likely. When they had Eaton, I mean, it was legitimately 1-8. Where is the out? Where is the soft spot in the order? You had Matt Wieters hitting eighth, a guy who can club 20, 25 homers. With Eaton, there were some question marks, I guess you could say, about how Michael Taylor would slide in as the everyday center fielder. He's played pretty darn well since taking over that job. So they've got a really good lineup. The rotation, when you throw out Scherzer and Strasburg and Roark and Gio as your top four, is very strong. The bullpen is the question mark with this team. And over the last week and a half or so, they've settled in. Kota Glover has established himself as this team's closer for now. So it's... We'll see. They've had talented clubs in the past that have won divisions and haven't gotten the job done when it matters in the postseason. But in terms of a batting order, it's the best lineup that I've seen since covering this team. And I think they certainly have the potential to do some special stuff in October.
I can tell you the bullpen can derail you after last year, but they have plenty of time to get that fixed. Did you get a sense in the offseason of how much we heard on our side that the Giants legitimately thought Melanson was their competition for him? Did you ever get a sense of how close they thought they got or how much they wanted him back?
They definitely wanted him back for sure. They felt like they put a really good offer on the table. Let's not forget that when he signed, he had gotten the most money ever given to a closer.
Yeah.
And that was topped, you know, subsequently. But, you know, they were willing to commit a lot of money in a bunch of years to a closer who's not 26 years old, you know? They really wanted Mark Melanson back, and they loved him in his time in Washington. He loved being in D.C. It was a really good fit, and unfortunately for the Nationals, the Giants just made a better offer, and Melanson came out west. But, he was beloved in the clubhouse. The front office really cared for him, and they would have loved to have had him back as their ninth inning guy again.
Final question for you. Explain Ryan Zimmerman's 2016 versus Ryan Zimmerman's. I saw that the other day, and it blew me away when you look at the numbers. So what's the best explanation that you guys have of what the difference is?
It's health. Ryan he's been on the field most of the last few years, but he hasn't been 100% healthy. He's been battling through hamstring issues, plantar fasciitis issues, shoulder issues, thumb issues. It's been one thing after another, and for him to have a full healthy off season that he could train his body the way that he wanted to and come into a year feeling like he's 100%, that's been huge. And yes, there was a lot of talk about launch angle and how last year he was hitting the ball hard but on the ground and wasn't getting the results. He puts zero stock in that whatsoever. He didn't make any conscious changes to his swing. He's not trying to adjust anything to gain a better launch angle. He just says he's healthy and he's out there playing like he knows that he can, and he's having a lot of results. And it also doesn't hurt that he's surrounded in the order by Bryce Harper and Daniel Murphy and then Anthony Rendon. Yeah. So, you know, tough to... You know, you're going to get pitches to hit. You're going to have guys
nice.
On base.
Yeah.
And he's been put in some advantageous situations, and he's delivered.
You know, some Giants coaches looked at that lineup the other day during BP and just went, Jesus, like, that's quite different than what they were throwing out. Dan, I appreciate you taking the time to sum this up. We'll be there in August, and hopefully this is all done, and
hopefully.
We're not talking about it. But we know baseball, these things are never totally over. But
sometimes grudges are held for 3 years, Alex.
It can be a long time. So, all right, thanks, Dan.
You got it, buddy.
It is out of here in the center field, and this game is over.
Got him.
And that's a perfect game. Swing and a miss. The Giants are world champions.
The Giants Insider Podcast on CSNBayArea.com. We'll be right back.